The parameters of my experiment were as follows. No iPhone or use of any other smartphone. No internet, which meant no Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or any other social media. No AIM, no GChat or email, and no DVR. I allowed myself television, but no reality shows. I gave my precious iPhone to my roommate, Kelly, who locked it up, so I knew I wouldn't crumble from temptation, especially after a couple glasses of wine. I prepared for my experiment assiduously, planning as if I were being transported to 1854 to live the rest of my days at Walden Pond with only my deliberations to keep me company. It wasn't going to be the rest of my life. It was only going to be a week. But it was going to be a pure week, a week of healthy detox, and I was ready. Of course, the day before the experiment, full panic set in. I started to have paranoid fantasies about being abandoned by everyone I knew. To alleviate my panic, I spent $100 on a landline, which was only fair and realistic considering every household had one before the internet took over the world. I scribbled down about 40 people's numbers that I might need over the course of the week. My friends, my mom and dad, my own landline number so that I could tell everyone so that they would call me, my boss, the MTV hair and makeup department, and the number for the nearest AT&T store, in case I went into full breakdown mode and had to buy a quick iPhone replacement. I knew this would be cheating, but I was terrified. The idea of having a landline proved strangely thrilling. I felt like Carrie Bradshaw when I checked my messages each evening after coming home. In fact, it turned out that checking messages was so exhilarating that after my experiment, I decided to keep the landline. I still have it today. I have yet to receive a single message on my answering machine that isn't from a telemarketer, but I maintain hope. I was working at the Times Square offices of MTV at the time, and I would go in for a few hours a day to shoot my segments. But since the terms of the experiment precluded me from using any computers or going on email, I had to ask a production assistant to print out all of the scripts for me. I'm sure my experiment ruined someone's week. After work, I'd sit on the couch restlessly, flipping through a book or magazine, and could swear I kept seeing a bright light on the cushion beside me, the clear and exhilarating pop-up light of an iPhone message notification. I would reach for it over and over, even though I knew it was locked away. Sometimes I'd be watching television and would silently and mindlessly pat the couch, feeling around for my phone. My iPhone was a phantom limb. Every minute or so, my eyes would dart across the room and my hands would search unconsciously for the precious machine, my lifeline. I missed it so much. I spent the first couple of days in a fugue state. I wonder what people are doing. I'll just check my... Oh no, I can't. Is everyone hanging out right now? Maybe I'm missing something at work. Do I still have friends? I wonder if they've posted about me. What if it's a terrible photo? What if it's a great photo and I can't regram it? I wonder if something fun is going on that I don't know about. Who am I? What a mess. 5, 6, or 7 hours a day would go by when I wouldn't hear from anyone. My coworkers and friends usually sent me hundreds of emails each day, and I was used to texting nonstop with 20 or 30 people at a time. But all of a sudden, there was nothing. Nothing except me and my thoughts and my landline. Sure, I missed the actual people, but truth be told, the anxiety about disconnecting from the chatter was worse. At first, I concluded that my phone had been filling a void, but then I realized that was the whole problem. These devices never filled a void because there had never been a void. They just came in and pushed other real stuff out. Before smartphones and social media came into all our lives, nothing had been missing. There were books and thoughts and movies and people and places. Now there was just checking your phone every 5 or 2 minutes. There was twitching and the compulsion, and it didn't really matter who the human being on the other side of the exchange or post or like was. Just that they were doing it, feeding the beast of self-regard. It was a moment of clarity. And then it was over, and I missed my iPhone again. And so the week went on. Just like with any recovery from addiction, there's an epiphany and there's backsliding. I'm not proud, but I had my addict lows. At one point in the first couple of days, I couldn't help myself and went into Kelly's room to try to find my phone. I just really wanted to text someone, anyone. I just wanted my phone with me again. I thought, I can cheat one time, nobody will know, which is totally ridiculous because if I texted a friend, they would obviously know. Like a crazy person, I looked through all of Kelly's stuff and tried to find my precious phone. But I couldn't. I couldn't even text her photos of the amazingly embarrassing things I was finding in her room. Later, I admitted all this to her, and without registering surprise, she told me she had taken it to work with her. I know you, she said. There is no way I was leaving that phone in my room for you to find. My anxiety astounded me. I even got the shakes a few times. My friend, Dr. Amy Wicker, a real person, not a 90210 character, who happens to be a clinical psychologist in New York City, explained to me that withdrawal is defined as a syndrome of painful physical and psychological symptoms that follow discontinuance of an addicting substance. And although I didn't feel pain per se, I definitely suffered both physical and psychological symptoms. Dr. Wicker added that while a smartphone is not considered an addictive substance, it is possible that one could experience significant emotional distress associated with an unfulfilled compulsion to check one's phone, most notably a sharp rise in anxiety levels. Even though the psychological community does not yet officially recognize my addiction, I felt otherwise. Fortunately, as the week progressed, the frequency of these mini panic attacks lessened from every few minutes to about every 30 minutes, then every few hours, then eventually, not at all.